One man says, I can't. The other says, I can. Which one is right? Both. See, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. That's Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinketh, so is he. How do you see your family? Bad, good, or indifferent? How do you see your house? Piece of junk? Or a mansion? How do you see what God has given to you? Your kids, your parents, your school, your friends. How do you see that? See, it's not what you see, it's how you're defining what you see.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, a message about a guy in the Bible you don't hear about every day. We're talking about Caleb. Out of the 12 men Moses sent to spy out the promised land, only Joshua and Caleb came back with a can-do attitude. The other 10 felt like grasshoppers. But I'm kind of giving away the story. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Against All Odds.
Let's see how they say when Caleb says we can, watch how they say we can't. Let's read this next one. And they answer right back, ready, go. We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. They spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there were of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The Nephilim are the sons of Anak. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked to them. Would you underline that sentence? Oh, it's not in your notes. That's right. Keep that in your mind. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. How do you look to yourself? How do you see yourself? Because see, often we're our worst enemies, aren't we? I can't do that. I can't do this. We criticize, we belittle, we disbelieve. Well, Wayne, you don't know. I'm in a bad place right now. But listen very carefully. Where you are is not who you are. Where you are does not define who you are. And where you've been will not define where you'll go. Don't you dare let it do that. You see, that might be a milepost in your past, but it ain't a hitching post. You always anchor yourself to your future, not your past. And in humanity, we often hitch ourselves to our past. We anchor ourselves to our past. Well, you know what my uncle did? You know what they did? You know what they said? So why are you anchoring yourself to yesterday? Anchor yourself to what could be, and it'll pull you forward. Because your best is yet to come. And so if you understand that, So where you are is not what defines who you are. It's interesting. 10 saw problems, 2 saw potential. 10 saw problems, 2 saw potential. Same land. 10 saw problems, 2 saw potential. You know, it's not what you see, it's how you define what you see. Because if you think about it, you don't see with your eyes. Your eyes are basically ocular lenses that projects an image to your mind, your brain. And there you have all of your past experiences, your maturity, your fears, everything is lodged there. And you define that image as friend or foe. Something that'll be good for you, something that'll be harmful for you. Should you run from it or should you run to it? You see with your mind. That's why the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, make sure you renew the spirit of your mind. Because that's what you see. Matthew 6:22, the lamp of your body is your eye. If your eye is clear, your whole body will be filled with light. If your eye is dark, your whole body will be filled with darkness. And if that light that is in you is darkness, how great shall that darkness be? And when he says the lamp of your body is your eye, he's not talking about your eyeball. He's talking about the way you see things and define them here in your mind. You see with your mind. And a part of your mind is your soul, your heart. And that's so linked to your faith, the way you define things. You can define it as bad. You can define it as better. It's how you define it. One man says, I can't. The other says, I can. Which one is right? Both. See, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. That's Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinketh, so is he. How do you see your family? Bad, good, or indifferent? How do you see your house? Piece of junk? Or a mansion? How do you see what God has given to you? Your kids, your parents, your school, your friends. How do you see that? See, it's not what you see. It's how you're defining what you see. And if all you see are people's problems and that becomes your summary, then your eyes will be trained to see problems rather than potential. And by the way, all of us have been trained that way, right? You get up in the morning, you read the newspaper. What's the newspaper full of? Good news or bad news? And then you watch the CNN report on your iPhone or whatever. Good report, bad report, bad report. You come home, you see a magazine, you read that. Not good news, bad news. You hurry home so you can watch the 5 o'clock bad news. And then you stay up late so you can watch the 10 o'clock bad news. And you go to sleep and you have bad dreams. You get up with a bad attitude and you have a bad back. Now you read the bad newspaper. And you do that for 30, 40 years. And pretty soon, all you see are problems, and then you start looking for problems because that's what you're used to. It's like an addiction. And after a while, everything is bad. We can all fall into that trap. And they said, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and we were the same in their sight. Interesting. Yeah, I have watched people rise above anything, debilitating accidents. They'll lose an arm, or they'll have the loss of a loved one, or their home will burn down. The most excruciating, the most horrifying accidents, I've watched human beings rise above it. People that have been nearly dead with cancer, they come through that, they fight, and now they're an advocate for cancer research or breast cancer. So it's just amazing how people can bounce back. I have seen people rise, haven't you? We've seen people rise above just about everything. Anything you can think of, they've risen above. There's only one thing you can never rise above. One thing. You'll never be able to rise above. And that is the quality of your thinking. If you don't think you can, that's why you won't. Your thinking is what keeps you down. And that's why the Bible says you've got to get the mind of Christ. You've got to renew the spirit of your mind. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, if there's anything be a good report, if anything be worthy of excellence, let your mind dwell on these things. You understand how he's repatterning the way we think? Because you see, life will not give you what you deserve, what you pray for, what you hope for. Life will give you what you settle for. And if that's all you settle for, that's what you get. Men and women will never rise above the quality of their thoughts. You want a better future, you need to raise the quality of your thoughts. And it changes. And that's what's happening here. You see the 10, their thoughts are so low. We can't. They're too big. It's too hard. Just can't do it. Caleb says, now he's 40 years old, says, by all means, we should go in there. Yeah, but did you see all the problems? I didn't see nothing. I saw God's promise. See, God's promised us great things. In the end, I don't know if you've checked it out yet, but check the end of the book. It says, we win. Yeah, we win. So now, let's go through the problems. But no, check the end again. We win. You got that? Okay, now go through all of this. Yeah, but we can't. No. We win. That gives us hope. True story of a man named George Danzig. Amazing story. He was a graduate math student in this Southern California college. When came to a place where his professor, and this is absolutely true story, is a great mathematician, but the professor said, tomorrow we're going to have this massive test. And then he said this. He said, whoever gets the highest grade in this test will be given the invitation to be the next associate math professor in this graduate school. George Danzig wanted that position so badly, he studied like nearly all night and combed through his notes. I think he studied so much he fell asleep, and when he awoke, he was already late for his test. So he scurried his books together, ran into the class, slid to a stop, and said, "I'm sorry, I'm late." And the professor said, "Yes, you're 25 minutes late." He said, "Oh, I'm sorry." He said, "Shh," and gave him a ream of papers, which is the test, and said, "Just sit down. We only have 2.5 hours, and you've already used up about a half hour of that." So quickly he went in there, and it was just a ream of papers and all kinds of calculations of linear equations. And he worked through it as fast as he could, knowing that he was behind. And finally, he finished it. But then, to his horror, he looked up on the board, and the board had 2 more problems that the professor had written there. Oh, he said, "That must be for extra credit." He turned his papers over and started working on the first. Took him a long time, about 20 minutes for this first one, but he got it. He only had a few minutes left. And so he started on the second, and there was brain lock. He said, "No, this can't be done. This is crazy. Can't." And he tried it and tried it and said, "Boy, I can't." Just then, the professor said, "Time's up. Hand in your papers." George said, I think I can get it. If you just give me a few more minutes." He said, "I'm sorry, George. We have to be fair. You must turn in your paper." Sullied, he turned in his paper, knowing that somebody was going to get them all right, and they would get the only one and only offering to be the assistant math professor. He turned in his paper, kind of sullenly walked home, knowing that he wouldn't have his name called the next day. But the next day came. He almost had to force himself to get to class. But when he entered, the professor stood up and said, "George Danzig, you have made mathematical history." And George said, "Why?" He said, "Oh, that's right. You were late yesterday, weren't you?" He said, "Yes, I'm sorry. I was 25 minutes, 30 minutes late." The professor said, "Oh, no problem. You see, before you came in, I explained to the students that this was going to be a very, very difficult test. And the one who would get the most on this would be offered to be the assistant math professor next year in this graduate school. And I also said to the students that math is a very difficult subject. In fact, there are some what we call open problems, or problems that cannot be solved. And as an example of 2 unsolvable problems, I wrote 2 of them on the board, and you solved 1 of them. Now, do you think if the professor had said to George, "You cannot solve this problem, can't be done, it's unsolvable," do you think he would have even have tried? Just nobody told him it couldn't be solved. You see, Jesus has the answer. Everything that you have been given assignment to face, it's already done. He's just working on the tendrils of your life. He's already got the diamond. "I'm giving this land to the Israelites. Now go in and spy it out. Get your faith going. You're going to see giants and some problems. Can you build those so I can put the diamond in?" We can't. Just can't. Change the way you think. Change the way you see. Because we don't see with our eyes. We see with our mind. And God's looking for that. The way we see things affects everything in our life. Now, fast forward the tape. 45 years. They're in the promised land. There's one area that's still needing to be conquered. Caleb's 85 years old. And he says to Joshua, who's now the new leader, "Joshua, I'd like to take that hill over there with the giants." And Joshua looks at him and says, "Dude, you are a geezer. You are 85. It's time for you to retire." And here's what he said, and it'll come up on the board. Would you read it with me? Go. "Now behold, as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive these 45 years since he spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old, still as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me out. As my strength was then, so it is now for war, for going out, and for coming in." And I thought, holy Toledo. Kudos to you, you old geezer. This is amazing. And let's read the next one. He continues and he says this. Now, therefore, give me this hill country that the Lord promised me on that day. For you yourself heard then that the Anakim were there with great and fortified city. Listen to this. Perhaps with the with whose help? Go, I will drive them out as the Lord has. Oh, man, I love that. With the Lord's help, it can be done. I can. We're in a day now where we think that things are falling down. The sky is falling. And I want us for the next 40 days to be a Caleb. Just like when they went into the land for 40 days and they saw all kinds of problems. There are out there. All kinds of giants. They are out there. All kinds of situations that would say we can't, and if we don't, then we're doomed. Listen, I have watched good and bad presidents get elected, and Jesus is still on the throne. He is giving a promise to us. Giving. What is our part to play? Perhaps the Lord will help us. So we have to say we can and move forward. God takes care of the rest. You and I are not responsible for the results. We are responsible for us and our part. God has it all figured out. It's all there already. We're going to do our part with passion. We're going to do the best we can. But Jesus is on the throne, not the president of the United States. Jesus is far above that, and he is sovereign. But he is giving us a promise. We have a part to play. And now we need to ask for God's help. Now, please, over this next 40 days, it's like spying out the land. Let's be like Caleb and Joshua and say, we can. It can be done. With God's help, we will be fine. Now, we're going to have to contend for every square inch of the promise of God, but never do it with panic or fear. Do it with faith and trust. And we're going to move forward. Some of you are facing some things in your family that you think are impossible. Maybe you're in a season of being a caregiver, or maybe you're in a season of a financial setback. Your business has been closed like so many, or so many have lost their homes. Remember, he's the Alpha and the Omega, and a lot of times his promise comes wrapped in struggle paper. I've seen it again and again. The answer is within the problem. And if we avoid and are afraid of the problem, we never find the miracle. Every miracle began with a problem. Many of us have been around the barn a few times. We understand what we mean about this. And God always, he will never give you a valley where in something he doesn't give you that's of equal or greater value in return. You walk through that and watch him compensate. Ask for his help. Because like Caleb said, I'm 85. I mean, the reality is I don't have quite the strength, but I'm strong as the day the Lord sent me out. Physically, no. Right here. Right here. Can I swing the sword as fast? Probably not, but I'm just as strong right here and right here. And we'll get her done with God's help. Let me finish with the story of a little boy. Father was teaching him how to work in the backyard and encountered a huge boulder. And just to give the boy a little experience, he said, son, move that rock from over there to over here. He said, Dad, that's way too big. That's impossible. That rock is as big as I am. The odds are stacked against me. Move that rock from there to here and try everything you can. So that little boy put his back up against that rock and pushed with his legs as hard as he could. Huffing and puffing, he went back to his dad. Dad, it's impossible. Can't be done. Try everything you can. He went back and got a lever, big stick. Back, that stick broke. He got another stick. That thing just bent and it wouldn't budge. He got so mad, he threw that stick down. He went back to his dad and he said, Dad, I've tried everything. He said, no, you haven't. Yes, I've tried everything. I tried pushing it, lifting it, putting a stick under it. It's impossible. It can't be moved. You got to try everything. I've tried everything. You haven't tried everything. What haven't I tried? He said, you haven't asked me yet to help you. I wonder if we too do the same thing. We do everything we can until we come to a point where we say, We're doomed. It's impossible. Caleb said, with the Lord's help, we're going to take this mountain. I think it's time for us to just say, Lord, with your help, we'll be fine. And so we do what we can, and let's ask God for his help. And then always remember, in the end, we win. Doesn't matter what man does, we win. Can you say amen to that? We win. Trust him. We win. And he's working things into his plan. Nothing takes God by surprise. But in the meantime, when we face the problem, ask for his help. Seek his face. It'll strengthen the tendrils because he's got a diamond he wants to insert. Let's let him. Amen. Amen.
At his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Against All Odds by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Until next time, remember these words from Pastor Wayne.
One man says, I can't. The other says, I can. Which one is right? Both. See, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. That's Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinketh, so is he. How do you see your family? Bad, good, or indifferent? How do you see what God has given to you? Your kids, your parents, your school, your friends. How do you see that? See, it's not what you see. It's how you're defining what you see.
Now, for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and aloha.